Some stories remind us of the extraordinary things that one person can accomplish, and they bear repeating. Gary Nabhan, the ethnobotanist, brought us this kind of story a while ago. And looking back on our 20 years on air, it still stands out. First, a little about Gary. He spent his life studying the land and the people who live from it. His work brought him a MacArthur Genius Fellowship. He writes a great deal about biodiversity and conservation, but he did a book about a singular man who qualifies as extraordinary and who was forgotten. The book is Where Our Food Comes From, retracing Nikolay Vavilov's quest to end famine. Gary, it's good to have you back with us.
Oh, it's great to be back with you, Lynn.
So Gary, what made Vavilov so famous?
He was the world's greatest plant explorer. He collected more seeds and tubers and fruits from around the world than any person in human history. And he started out collecting seeds in about 1916,
right,
and worked up until his arrest in the early 1940s and imprisonment by Stalin.
Could you tell us that story?
Well, Vavilov was collecting seeds in the borderlands of Russia and Eastern Europe when he was apprehended, and he disappeared in front of his staff. A car came up with KGB agents in it, took him away. And as World War II rolled up and into Russia, no one knew where he was. It ends up that he had been imprisoned just a few blocks away from where his son and his wife were staying, and they never knew that he was there.
Oh, my.
And after over a year and a half of eating frozen cabbage and moldy flour, he died of starvation. The man that taught us the most about where our food comes from and tried for over 50 years to end famine in the world died of starvation in a Soviet gulag.
And he was a very famous scientist in Russia, right? And Russia was famous for its famines that used to wipe out thousands and thousands of people.
Over the years, decades and centuries prior to Vavilov's birth, there were 120 famines triggered by drought or catastrophic weather events that killed millions and millions of people. During his lifetime, there were three famines that killed millions in Russia, and the last one was largely due not to a drought, but due to Stalin's collectivization of private farms and turning them into an assembly line production system that reduced yields in Russia because all of a sudden no farmer owned his own land and had control over his crops. And so, ironically, Stalin needed a scapegoat for this famine and the failure of his collectivization of farms, and he chose Vavilov.
Now, Vavilov traveled all over the world. You said something in the book about five continents collecting seeds and culture.
Vavilov was an incredible explorer of food diversity. He traveled to 64 countries on five continents collecting seeds. He learned 15 languages. And so he was one of the first scientists to really listen to farmers, traditional farmers, peasant farmers around the world, and why they felt seed diversity was important in their fields. And so all of our notions about biological diversity and needing a diversity of foods on our plate to keep us healthy sprung from his work 80 years ago. And if justice be done, he would be as famous as Darwin or Luther Burbank.
Now, his death, very tragic, but all of these seeds, from what I understand, went into a seed bank in St. Petersburg, right?
That's right. There's something in St. Petersburg, just a few blocks away from the Hermitage Art Museum, one of the great museums of the world. There is a seed bank down in the basement of a stodgy old Russian building that had not only his 220,000 seeds, but another 150,000 from other collectors. And during the siege of St. Petersburg in 1941, The staff locked themselves in that building. They didn't know where Vavilov, their leader, was, but they were so dedicated to the mission that they shared to collect and conserve the world's food diversity that they locked themselves in to protect the seeds both from the Nazis and from starving people in their own streets who wanted to find grain or potatoes of any kind and eat them. And over a series of months in 1942 and 1943, a dozen of the scientists starved to death while guarding those seeds. And one of them said, "It was hard to wake up. It was hard to get on your feet and put on your clothes in the morning. But no, it was not hard to protect the seeds once you had your wits about you, that saving those seeds for future generations and helping the world recover after war was more important than a single person's comfort."
That seed bank today, does it still exist?
I've had the blessing of visiting the seed bank in St. Petersburg, and we looked at a wall of photos of the people who died protecting those seeds, and I've never been so deeply moved by the courage of scientists in my life, that they put humankind before their own personal lives seemed to me an astonishing act.
Gary, it's an amazing story. Thank you for telling us.
Oh, I'm grateful to be here with you.
Gary Nabhan is author of Where Our Food Comes From, Retracing Nikolay Vavilov's Quest to End Famine. Well, we think it's appropriate to celebrate one of the world's oldest domesticated crops, the turnip. Take a look at Indian chef Vikas Khanna's recipe for turnips in coconut and mustard seed curry. You can find it at splendidtable.org.